Well, it's a real joy to be back here on Magic 1560, another Lord's Day, another Sunday morning, to be able to preach the Word of God and to preach Jesus and Him crucified, Him buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. It's always a joy to know that God is still on the throne and that God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Would that you turn with us in your Bibles to Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15. And to not have a whole lot of reading, we just want to read the part of verse number 17. Luke chapter 15, and just the first six or seven words of this first part of the 17th verse of Luke chapter number 15 and verse number 17. Luke 15:17 says, "And when he came to himself," and when he came to himself. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for another privilege, Lord, another opportunity, another time to be able to sit to this microphone, Lord, and be able to expound to a lost and dying world that some 2,000 years ago you gave the best thing you had. Father, the darling Son of God, to go to the cross of Calvary to save us of our sin and to secure us a home in glory. Father, I pray that you'd touch this mouth of clay. Lord, I pray that you'd touch our lips and loosen our tongue. Give us, Father, the words to say, Lord, that would be pleasing only to you, not to ourselves. Lord, not to the listener today, but Lord, you would speak, and Lord, we could say those things that you speak through us, Lord, that would be pleasing only to you. And I ask, Father, that, Lord, you'd send the liberty and the power and the authority. But most of all, I pray, O God, that, Lord, you'd send the conviction and, Lord, the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God that's needful today. Ask, dear Lord, that you'd send this word out 40, 60, and 100-fold and it'll accomplish what you please. And I ask also, Lord, that you'd boost up the power on this radio station, Lord, that it can, will, and must go out further than it normally will. Father, I pray that you'd bless our efforts. And if there be any fruit that's ripe, I ask, dear Lord, that you'd pick it today. Speak, Lord, thy servant's hearing. For it's in Jesus' name we do try to pray and ask it. Amen. And amen. As you know, most of you know, if you know anything about your Bibles, you know that Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through the following, to the end of the chapter here, is the story of the prodigal son. Now I want to preach on this prodigal son differently than most of you is ever going to ever hear it preached before in your life. But it's still biblical, it's still Bible, and just stay with us. And we want to give you something that'll help you. And that is in this matter of repentance. I'm talking about real, genuine, biblical, heaven-sent, Holy Ghost-filled repentance by the grace of God. Usually and oftentimes, we tell people that you must realize that you are a sinner and that you must admit that you are a sinner and turn from your ways and do an about face, do an about face and go the other direction or go the other way. But, neighbor, that's just part of the final step of conversion, of salvation through the biblical way of repentance. Let me say that again. Oftentimes we tell people that they must realize that they're a sinner, turn from their sin, or admit that they're a sinner, turn from their ways, do an about face, do a 180, and go the other way, or go the other direction. But neighbor, listen, turning from your sins is only one step in the conversion of salvation. Now, I'm not saying that preachers that preach this are preaching heresy. No, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we go to the last step, but we have a tendency to omit the real part of genuine repentance. Now, repentance does mean to turn away. Repentance does mean to turn around. Repentance does mean to do a 180 and go the opposite direction and go the other way. But there's more to repenting than just turning around and going the other way. Some of you say, "Preacher, you're crazy." Some of you say, "Preacher, we had 500 saved so far this year, and they all just turned from their sins and confessed Christ and was saved and born again." Excuse me. All right, you had your say. Let me have my say. You said you've had 500 saved so far this year by just simply turning from their sins and confessing their sins and going their way. Let me ask you this question. Where's that 500 at today? Where are they at today? Are they still in church? Today we see many people coming to an altar of repentance and confessing their salvation. However, we go back to these churches 6 months later and they're not there. And many of them never come back. What happened? What happened, you say? I'll tell you what happened. They never took repentance seriously. And friend, listen, they never entered into repentance the biblical way. They turned from their sin, but they kept hanging on to their sin. Did you hear what I said? I said they turned from their sin, but they kept on hanging on to their sin. Luke chapter 9 and verse number 62. One of the most misquoted verses in the Bible. I want to misquote it first on purpose, and then I want to quote it again like it's actually said. Most people say that Luke 9:62 says, "No man that puts his hands to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven." That's not what it says. Jesus said in Luke 9:62, what Jesus says was, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven." The way that it's usually quoted or misquoted is this: no man that puts his hands to the plow. That means that man that walks up to the plow and puts both hands to the plow and starts to plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. What it actually says is, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back, it's done all in one motion. He walks up to the plow and he puts his hand, not both hands, but he puts one hand to the plow and looking back. He don't put both hands to the plow and begin to plow and then look back. But neighbor, while he's putting his hand to the plow, the other hand is still hanging on to the world and he's looking back, and that's where most of our church members are today. That's where most of that crowd, that 500 that you said, that turned from their way and was saved and born again, yet they're not back, and they've never darkened the doors of a church again. Why? Because they put their hand to the plow, and all at the same time they were looking back and kept hanging on to the things that they were already hanging on to. Hear what I said? I said they put their hand to the plow, and all at the same time they were looking back and hanging on to the things that they never
turned loose of. You're still hanging on. They're still hanging on to their old sins. They're still hanging on to their old habits. They're still hanging on to their old faults and their old faults and their old failures. They're still hanging on to those things that had them bound. They're still hanging on to those things that they supposed to have turned loose of. And they're not there anymore. You know what's wrong with our country today? You know what's wrong with America today? You know what's wrong with the world and the land that we're living in today? I'll tell you what's wrong with it today. We're living in a foolish, disobedient, deceived, lustful, envious, hateful, hating time that we've ever known in the history of the world. You say, preacher, you got scripture to back that up? I sure do. If I hadn't, if I wouldn't have said it. Apostle Paul wrote in Titus chapter 3 and verse 3, starting in verse 3 through 6. Paul said, for we ourselves, speaking of himself, Paul said, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Ghost, which He shed abundantly upon us through Jesus Christ our Lord. What did Paul say? Paul said, I used to be foolish. Why was I foolish? Because I was disobedient. Why was I disobedient? Because I was deceived. Why was I deceived? Because I was serving divers or different lusts and pleasures. I lived in malice and envy, hateful, and I was hating everything that stood for God. And that's where most of us are at today. We're deceived. We're disobedient. And we're living a foolish life. Here was a man that this son left his father. And he left his father's house. Not only did this young son leave his father and his father's house, but in process of leaving his father and his father's house, you know what he was doing? He was insulting and humiliating the father that loved him and desired to give him whatsoever he needed. Isaiah chapter 53. And verse number 6, the prophet Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray and have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Who is that him? Well, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Not only that, but Hebrews 9:28, the Bible said, for Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. All we like sheep have gone astray and turned every one to his own way, but yet the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You say, preacher, why do you say he humiliated and insulted his father? Because in this day and time, for a son to go to his father that was still living and to ask for his inheritance, knowing that the only legal way that he should inherit whatever was coming to him, his father must die first. And in order for that young son to go to his father and ask for his inheritance, is almost like slapping him in the face and saying, Dad, I wish you were dead. Because if you were dead, then I could inherit everything that's coming to me. And in essence, that's what he was saying. And under the culture that they lived in that day, it was a real insult and a real humiliation for that son to do that to his dad. But he did it anyway. And he went into that far country. And he left the father's house. And he left the father. And what did the Bible say that he did? The Bible said that he took his journey into a far country, verse number 13, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And there was a great famine in that land. And all of his money was gone, and all of his friends were gone, and he had nothing to eat. And he took himself to the citizen of that country and began to feed his hogs and began to eat of the husk that the hogs left behind. And this little boy was about to starve to death. But you know what he did? He began to think about what was going on. He began to think about home. And in beginning to think about home and what was left behind, the Bible said in verse number 17, and when he came to himself. And that brings us down to where our message actually begins. The thought I'd like to give you this morning is this: when he came to himself. When he came to himself. Folk, you listen to me today, you need to come to yourself. And not only do you need to come with yourselves, but you need to come to grips with reality and the life that you're living today. The Bible said, and when he came to himself, in order to come to yourself, you know what you've got to do? You've got to see yourself as you really are. You know how you really are? Titus chapter 3 and verse number 3 says you're foolish. Titus 3 verse 3 says you're disobedient. It says you're deceived, you're lustful, you're envious, you're hateful and hating others. And we must look at ourselves and find out what's wrong. And that's the first step in repentance. We've got to look at ourselves and see ourselves like we really are. Look at ourselves and see ourselves like we really are. And find out what's wrong. And you need to start looking at ourselves and take a good look at ourselves. Let me ask you a question. You say, preacher, I've took a good look at myself. Do you like what you see? Do you really like what you see? Do you really like the life that you're living? Are you really satisfied with the sin and the problems that you have in your life because of the sin? Are you satisfied with the bad health that you have because of the sinful life that you're living? Well, if you're enjoying your life that you're living after you see yourselves like you really are, and if you like what you see, then you're in real trouble, friend. I said, if you like what you see, then you're in real trouble. James chapter 1, starting in verse 22 through 25. James said, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. What did Paul say there in Titus 3:3? He said he was foolish, disobedient, and deceived. You're foolish, and you're disobedient, and you're deceived. Paul said, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For whoso looketh, deceiving your own selves. For he that be a hearer of the word, and not a doer of the word, is like unto a man that beholdeth his natural face in a glass. And he seeth himself, and goeth his way, and forgetteth what manner of man that he was. The verse 25, he said, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, that man shall be blessed in all of his deeds. Do you like what you see? Have you looked at your life and do you really like what you see? If you do, I said you're in trouble. Not only the reason you're in trouble is because you've been deceived. Who's deceived you? You're deceiving yourself. You know what he done? He remembered the Father and what he'd been taught. He remembered the Father and what he'd been taught. And the Bible said he came to himself. And when he came to himself, you know what that means? That means he saw himself like he really was. He saw himself like he really was. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, the Bible said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the eyes of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The devil's desire is that he hide the light of the gospel, of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God unto you. What is that gospel? The death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Neighbor, you've got to see yourself like you really are. And he saw himself like he really was. I said he saw himself like he really was. You've, in order to be able to repent of yourself, of your sins, neighbor, you've got to look at yourself and see yourself like you really are. As I said before, if you like what you see, you're not going to turn from what you like what you see. You're not going to turn from that which you enjoy. There are things that I don't, that people eat that I don't eat because I don't like it. Because I don't like it, I won't eat them. But there are things that I do like to eat and I'll gobble it up every chance I get. And the reason I don't eat some things is because it don't taste good to me and I don't like it. And the reason I eat things that I do eat is because I enjoy them. And the reason you sin is because you enjoy sin. He saw himself like he really was. And then after he saw himself like he really was, he started to think about the Father and the Father's house and what he'd been taught. Friends, before you can listen, before you can ever turn your life around, you got to turn your thinking around. You live wrong because you think wrong. I said you live wrong because you think wrong. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1, he said, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, who in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Verse number 3 says, among also we had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, and in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, that your thought pattern, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You see, he saw himself like he really was. And when he saw himself like he really was, he began to think about what he really was. And when he began to think about what he really was, same thing you got to do. So when you look into your life and see where you're wrong, and the Holy Spirit begins to convict your heart and you begin to regret that which you have or have not done, and then you begin to change your mind against the sin in your life. See, there's more than just doing an about face. There's more than just turning and going the opposite way. There's more than just turning and going in the other direction. You've got to see your life like you really are. And then you've got to say in your mind, and you've got to admit to yourself whether you like or dislike your life. And if you don't like what you see, the Bible said in verse number 18, he said, I will rise and go to my Father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. You know what he done? He was sorry for what he had done. He said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 10, the Bible said, godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of, but sorrow of the world bringeth forth death. Godly sorrow. You know what that godly sorrow is? That's remorse and regret for the life that he had lived. Worked repentance into his life unto salvation. And that's what you've got to do, friend. You've got to be sorry for your sin. There's got to be some remorse there. And I see our time's about to run out, and we'll finish this up hopefully next week. And hopefully that Almighty God will give us the words to say that some person might be able to be convicted of their sin and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Father, we thank you again for this privilege to pray. Ask, dear Lord, that you'd speak to the heart of the listener today. Let them, Father, look into their heart and into their lives and see themselves, Lord, like they really are. Lord, repent of their sin and by faith reach out and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Bear.